countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
But first,
first thing happened, the plane came over the pitch, came down very low and circled around over the plane pitch, and went away. Because they gave the signal, of course, that the game was on. In a few minutes, it was surrounded and they started shooting. They came in like an alligator. Five or six tens, and they fired five or six shots in quick succession. Like, all the crowd were rushing around inside the canal gate.
This very day, 100 years ago, at around 9 a.m. in the morning, 15 soldiers, spies and civilians were shot dead by the IRA in Dublin in an attempt to disable the British military intelligence operation. That afternoon, in a raid on the Dublin Tipperary Challenge football game at Crow Park, the RIC opened fire and 14 people were killed, one player and 13 fans, including two Dublin boys aged 10 and 11. Now, there are many events planned this week to mark the centenary of the day now known as Bloody Sunday 1920. And in County Kildare, the GAA is honouring a man called Mick Salmon, who was very central to events that day as well. And joining me now is Owen Curry, journalist and GAA historian. Owen, great to have you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So who was Mick Salmon?
Well, we had four very strong Kildare connections with the Bloody Sunday. Matthew Byrne is on the current Kildare team. His great-great-grandfather, James Matthews, was one of the Dublin victims. There was a player, Frank Burke, who was the successor to Pádraig Pearse as headmaster of St Enda's. He was marking Mike Hogan on the Dublin team on the day. There's some people who've been following the story will know that revolvers were found. They were subsequently mentioned a lot in the House of Commons as a justification for the massacre. They were all dropped by Joe Steins from Newbridge, who was had been given the guns by Michael Collins to hold and wasn't supposed to be in Croke Park. But the most important and the key to the events of the day, because not only was he referee, but he was a major fundraiser for the dependents of prisoners, was Michael Salmon. And he was standing very close to where Mike Hogan and Frank Burke were on the day and crawled to safety when the shooting started. Sadly, that's where Mike Hogan died, and someone who came to his whisper an act of contrition into Mike Hogan's ear was also shot, one of the spectators from Wexford.
So Mick Salmon was the referee that day. He had won an All-Ireland with Kildare the previous year. It wasn't unusual for players to become inter-county referees at that stage and in years after. What were his recollections of the day? He survived.
He talked about crawling to safety, about the his escape afterwards through the gardens, as a lot of the people from Croke Park did, climbing wall after wall of those gardens that are still there around Jones's Road. But he spoke very little, which is quite interesting, that he was such a very gregarious character. He had was a publican. He just acquired in the same month as Bloody Sunday what is now the Pearl Bar in Fleet Street in Dublin. Listeners will be familiar with it. But a lot of people in North Kildare would remember him. He died relatively young in 1947, but a great storyteller, very involved in dog racing and horse racing. Barry Brogan, the jockey and now a horse trainer, would be his grandson. And all of that happened, you know, with this context of Bloody Sunday in the background. And when it came to his funeral, very many people never knew he'd been referee. He kept quiet about it, and to some extent that has obscured the events to commemorate him, because while some of the players have been very associated, the names associated with Bloody Sunday, Mick Salmon somehow fell out of the narrative.
Mm. You say he didn't talk about it, whether that was because obviously the trauma of the events were something he did not wish to remember. Having said all that, he continued in business and he did continue to referee.
very much. He was one of the more prominent referees of the early 1920s. As you say, something that doesn't happen very much now, prominent players, inter-county players, could end up, in some cases, refereeing the All-Ireland semi-final to meet the for the team to meet the their team in the All-Ireland final. That continued right up to the 1940s. Players like John Joe Riley would have been refereeing and playing at the same time. It's no longer that common, and one of the reasons would be that there were accusations that a current player wasn't best because of the various rivalries. That was never levelled against Michael Salmon. He refereed an All-Ireland semi-final, very highly thought of, and refereed right up to 1938. And as you know, the best referees are the ones that nobody notices during a match. It's quite interesting to go through the matches he refereed. He would not have been an interventionist referee, and intervention by GA referees at the time would be very limited. You would get maybe 13, 16, 20 frees at most in a match. Most of them only had 6 or 7 free kicks. The football was much more robust, and you ask anybody, ask their grandfather about what it was like in their time, and referees didn't award that many frees. He was would have been probably better known as a referee at the end of his life, but we've got to remember Kildare only have 4 All-Irelands, and he was part of one of the most famous midfield combinations in the history of the game, alongside Larry Stanley, in the Kildare team that won the All-Ireland in 1919. When you think that he was involved in the movement, he had gone to jail because of his role in the Irish Volunteers. These guys were sometimes on the run, sometimes in and out of jail, and they were playing and training at full intercounty level, winning All-Irelands. It's quite a remarkable story that the GA has in the heart of that struggle for independence.
And Mick Salmon is certainly not being forgotten by the county board in Kildare, particularly this year and from now on.
We're going to have the plaque for the referee at the county final commemorating Mick Salmon. So forevermore, we will have a Mick Salmon award, and that will really give him his rightful place. He was pretty much a poster boy for the revolution, not just in Kildare, but he was handsome, athletic. He'd won 100-metre sprints, won athletics championships, refereeing, involved in committees. He would have been on the committee for the Tailteann Games in 1924, very big deal at the time. Really selfless. These guys, sometimes they didn't get paid for what they did, either for the independence movement or for the GA, and sometimes it cost them a lot in terms of their life and their in and out of prison. So that selflessness will be remembered forevermore, as I say, because Mick Salmon, the referee's award, will be named in his honour. And I think that more he wasn't a man who went around courting in his lifetime recognition. I think that the long overdue recognition can be given to him 100 years after his participation in one of the most famous events in international sporting and revolutionary history.
Yeah, and it is quite extraordinary that, well, it's not unusual, as we know, for Dublin to be in a provincial final, as they'll be playing Meath this weekend, but it is a little bit unusual in the modern era for Tipperary to be in a football final, and in the year of COVID, here we have 2 provincial finals on the same weekend 100 years later, and both Tipperary and Dublin will actually be playing this weekend. It really is extraordinary, isn't it, Owen?
Extraordinary. And Tipperary, in our lifetime, would not be associated with football. At that time, they were. They were pretty much a power. If you drew Tipperary in the championship, you were going to get a match. They were going for their 4th All-Ireland when they played in 1920 All-Ireland was eventually played, the delayed match. Mm-hmm. A little short piece of footage can be found on YouTube from British Pathé. And you can see the team there with Dan Breen, who was throwing in the ball. We'd come to the truce at that stage. Mm-hmm. Civil War hadn't started. He was in the middle of them all, and R.D. Walsh in his Free State uniform off to the right. Fine, athletic, handsome young men, very, very fit. And they were a formidable football team. Tipperary's concentration has been on hurling ever since. But there's absolutely no reason why they couldn't be a powerful dual county in the way that Cork became and Galway became. Yeah. And maybe we're beginning to see the stirrings of that again.
Well, we are. And of course, Tipperary hurlers, we can't forget, are also have a big game today in the All-Ireland quarterfinal against Galway. Owen, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you very much indeed
always
for that.
Always a pleasure.
And we'll chat to you again. And thanks for giving us that Kildare insight into Bloody Sunday. By the way, the History Show has a special edition about Bloody Sunday on RTE Radio 1 tomorrow Sunday just after 6 p.m.